All right, I'm Craig. He's Chris. Every Thursday at this time, bring in Rush, please. When you hear Rush, you know that he is next. He is the sports editor of the Argus Leader, joins us every Thursday for the whole 4 o'clock hour. Ladies and gentlemen, whether you like him or not on Twitter, it's Stu Whitney. Stu! Stu!
Does that go for
you
in person,
like people
too?
On Twitter, or do you follow people on Twitter?
I follow a lot of
like
people
in general,
on Twitter.
As in like or dislike.
I was kind of shocked over the reaction that you got on Twitter last week. I was out fishing up in northern Minnesota at that time and happened to see some of the Twitter stuff. What did Stu do now?
You were fishing, Stu was trolling.
You're lucky.
It all worked.
Yeah.
Wow. That worked out nicely for you, Chris.
Oh, man. So I was surprised. I thought it was a great article. Or was it the apology that you wrote in the paper?
I think I had already apologized on Twitter. I would call it more of an exploration of what happened and kind of the climate that we live in now with social media and Twitter and Facebook and some of this, the immediacy of the digital age and how an opinion can go out, a knee-jerk opinion can go out and have ramifications.
When was the last time you had a knee-jerk reaction, Stu?
I know that it sounds very unlike me
that
to,
about?
To shoot from the hip on this stuff. But
for those that didn't follow or don't know, Stu was happening to sit at an intersection when the motorcycles with the Make-A-Wish annual
Hot
Harley Nights, and Stu was trying to get to his son's game, and you were sitting at an intersection, can't go anywhere, and you sound a little frustrated apparently with your tweet.
Just a tad. I mean, I'm usually smart enough to avoid that Harley Nights deal, but when you work downtown and you're trying to get something from your workplace and you happen to be working that night, it can get very dicey, and I've talked to a lot of other people since then. Not a lot of them wanted to go public, but just in private conversations with people, I heard some of the horror stories of people getting caught in traffic. I know they've had to delay the Storm Championship games a few times because it's fallen on the same night as Hard Harley Nights. When I sent it out, I obviously wasn't thinking, you know, I was very frustrated, thought I was going to miss my son's game. I've heard people say the parade is 10 minutes. That's not true. I would have been there at least 45 minutes, maybe an hour if I hadn't found sort of a creative way around it. But you would think the people that would be most upset about a tweet like that would be bikers. You know, I envisioned, you know, the Hell's Angels coming after me or something. Not that this draws a lot of outlaw gangs or anything, but it turned out to be obviously the Make-A-Wish folks and the people that are involved with the charity arm of this thing. And I know as hard as it might sound to believe, I had no idea Make-A-Wish was tied to Hot Harley Nights. I've usually spent most of my time trying to I've never attended it. I've never reported on it. I've tried to, just out of general logistical principles, try to stay as far away from it as I could because of the traffic issues involved with it. Not that I will in the future. Now I think myself and a lot of people that just kind of watch this whole thing from afar have learned more about the event. And if there is a positive that comes out of it, maybe that's it.
I got to ask you this. You've been here for over 20 plus years. How do you not know that Make-A-Wish is connected to the Hot Harley Nights?
I don't know. How would you know? I mean, unless you've followed it closely. Like I said, I've never attended it, and I realize I work for the newspaper. I suppose I could have read an article or two about it. But I've talked to
for crying in the rain, Reed.
I've talked to dozens of people who said they had no idea it had anything to do with that. They just thought it was.
Did the reaction surprise you? Was this some of the biggest reaction that you have received as a member of the media?
I've been in the trenches a few times with stuff like this, but not with something so as indefensible as an event that helps sick kids. You know, how are you going to dig your heels in on something like that?
Yeah.
And so sort of an unwinnable and something where I really just kind of had to put my hands up and say, hey, I made a mistake.
Yeah, it was an oops. I've known you long enough. I
but the understand. Vehemence, you know, the vehemence and some of the rancor that came from the other side, catches you off guard sometimes. But you and I have developed thick skins over the year, Craig. So
all right.
What was the most extreme statement that somebody had made to you?
I don't think
over
he can say that on the radio.
Well, yeah, a lot of them
Can you write it down on this paper
for me? I don't think that can be physically done.
People involved with charity are very skilled at profanity. That's one thing I learned. But as I said in my column, one of the things was the guy said, I'm poster child for human sterilization. I wasn't quite...
Still figuring that one.
I know human sterilization is bad, but I didn't really understand the specific to what he was trying to get at. Right. But well, I know that it was not good.